This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. It's the biggest health care change since Medicare. Enrollment for mandatory insurance under the Affordable Care Act begins Tuesday. If you are not otherwise covered, you are required to get health insurance using a health exchange marketplace provided either by a state or federal government. But here in North Carolina, you don't have a state exchange, so you'll have to use the one set up by federal bureaucrats. North Carolina lawmakers also rejected Medicaid expansion, and that will leave many of the poorest of the state off the insurance rolls. Here to tell us about the Affordable Care Act and its rollout, we're joined by John Murawski, who is a business reporter for the News and Observer. Hello, John.
Hey, how are you?
Also joining us is Soriann Schmidt. She is North Carolina Director for Enroll America. Soriann, welcome.
Thank you.
We are taking your phone calls and your emails, too, if you have questions about what you should be doing right now or questions about the plan in general. 877-962-9862. You can email us at sot@wunc.org. So, John, this is, of course, this bill is massive and it's been rolled out, this act, I should say, over time. We're now looking at open enrollment. What does that mean? Where are we?
That means starting October 1st, you can go online or you can call representatives and you can shop for subsidized insurance. At first, you'll be able to determine whether you qualify for subsidies, and you'll be able to look at plans that have different options in terms of premiums, copays, and deductibles. And there will be some cost limits for people at lower income levels starting at 400% of the poverty level and below. To help them pay for their insurance.
All right, and tell us about these markets, where we're supposed to go to compare the prices.
The main place is healthcare.gov. It's a website. It's a federal government website. There's a Spanish version, cuidadodesalud.gov. There's an 800 number. There's a TTY number. But you'll also be able to call United Way will have a number. UNC Healthcare will have a number. There'll be a number for navigators and certified application assistants. I'll explain what they are in a second. There should be one out soon. Independent insurance agents, you can shop for them, and we'll publish a lot of this information on Sunday in our paper. Ways to get to access the information or access someone who can help you get the information.
Now, the state of North Carolina, our legislature decided not to set up a state exchange, that is a marketplace where you can go compare prices. You have one available at the federal level. I mean, what's the difference? Why did we need a state exchange if you can go to the federal government? What was it that the state legislature turned down by not setting up our own exchange?
States that set up a state exchange got a lot more money from the federal government for outreach and enrollment and to create the exchange. So, in North Carolina, it would have been about four times as much money as the state got. So we would have gotten $27 million if the Department of Insurance were involved in this. As a result, we got just under $7 million, and that $7 million is not. So it's going to nonprofit organizations that provide social services to low-income people, and essentially the information will be distributed by volunteers, by staff members, by social workers, by paralegals, by intake coordinators at these organizations.
So our state turned down some money. The lawmakers, I'm sure, had their reasons for doing it, and critics, I'm sure, had their criticisms. Why did lawmakers say they wanted to turn it down?
I think there's just basically fundamental ideological disagreements as to how to address the problem of insurance and what the role of government ought to be versus the free market. And general politics, partisan politics.
Mm-hmm. And that's turning away a lot of money for ideology. And also the free market is exercised on these exchanges. This is where you get to compare prices, which now you don't get really too much in terms of comparison shopping. So what are the critics saying about why we should never have turned this down?
generally they're saying that one is that the policies will be paid for by subsidies, so the taxpayers are subsidizing somebody else to buy insurance. So Fred is actually paying out of his pocket so Sam can get some insurance, and they find that very objectionable. They also believe it'll have all sorts of unintended consequences, as complex government policies sometimes do or often do. They believe they will also result in reduced quality of health care, smaller networks of doctors and hospitals, and ultimately they believe everybody will be worse off than they are now.
And those are the criticisms of the Affordable Care Act.
Yes.
What do critics of the legislature say about the effects of not setting up an exchange in this state?
Actually, I'm not sure.
Apart from losing all that money, which.
They didn't want to set up the exchange. One reason is that they didn't want to expand Medicaid, because the state would have the feds would have paid for most of that Medicaid, but the state would have had a bit of some responsibility as well. But other than that, I just think there are just fundamental, deep ideological disagreements as to how to address social problems, and conservatives generally oppose subsidies paid out by taxpayers, and they oppose government involvement and government management, or what they would see as micromanagement, and they believe the free market is the best solution to these kinds of problems.
What is the connection between the expansion of Medicare, which our legislature also rejected?
Medicaid,
right. Forgive me. The expansion of Medicaid, which our legislature also rejected, and the Affordable Care Act. Why are they associated?
They're related because the Affordable Care Act was designed to make sure that everybody would have access to either discounted insurance or essentially subsidized insurance. And there was a category, an income bracket of people who would have qualified for neither, and so you wanted to expand Medicaid to cover that gap so that those people would be covered. That's, I think, around 500,000 people in North Carolina. By not expanding Medicaid to them, they're too poor to buy subsidized insurance. Even if they were to get a policy for free, they don't have the money to pay for copays and deductibles, and essentially they're too poor to buy insurance, and so the only way to get insurance to them would put them on Medicaid, and by not putting them on Medicaid, we will continue to have a gap of people who will not have access to health care that they can afford under their financial circumstances.
Federal lawmakers recognize that. They allowed states to expand Medicaid and pay for it at the federal level because they recognized there would be that gap. The state of North Carolina didn't, and about 500,000 people will now go uninsured. So let me ask you, Sorian, what kind of questions, Tuesday begins open enrollment. Your job, tell us a little bit about your job and what you're doing to help people find their way through the system.
Well, we are really aware of the fact that many people are unclear about how the new health insurance options will affect them and how they can interrelate to that. And so we are just trying to get the word out to let people know that they can go to healthcare.gov and see policies that will be appropriate for them side by side and compare them. And that many people will qualify for financial help to pay for the premiums for these policies and on a sort of sliding scale basis.
877-962-9862 is the number to call if you have questions. We're talking about open enrollment. It starts Tuesday for the Affordable Care Act. And Leslie is on the line from Pittsburgh with a question. Hello, Leslie.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I've been self-insured for many, many years through Blue Cross, Blue Advantage, and I'm not sure. I pay about $426 a month. How is this program, all of this, going to affect my insurance?
Sorian, can you?
Well, I would say first that when the marketplace opens on October 1st, you do want to go on there and put in your information and look to see if you're going to qualify for a more affordable plan or a plan that might provide you with more services. And if you will get financial help in paying for that. You do not have to do anything because you are already insured, but you do have that option to look there, especially since you're self-insured.
All right. Thank you for the call, Leslie. 877-962-9862 is the number to call. And so I'm covered by the state health plan, and I can go on and take a look and compare. Can I switch if I want to?
If you have affordable health insurance available to you now, then you will not be switching to this new plan. And so as a state employee, that insurance is considered affordable for you to buy for yourself. And so most state employees will not be affected by this that are covered under the state employee plan.
I mean, can I go shopping and see for myself that I'm better off where I am? Or will there be an income threshold, for instance, that would exclude me anyway?
there is a threshold. If your insurance that you have available to you now is below a certain percentage of your income, then no, you won't be able to just switch to another plan.
877-962-9862, SOT@WNC.org. John, maybe this is a question for you. We have a listener who has written in and said that a lot of companies seem to be cutting worker hours to get below the threshold. It's a 30-hour threshold that would require them to comply. I don't know if you've looked into this yet or see how companies are having to sort of game the system in this new environment.
So originally under the Affordable Care Act, large employers were provisions that affected large employers would have kicked in the first year, and they would have had to provide insurance. Any employer that had over 50 employees full time, and full time was, I believe, 30 hours a week, or maybe it was 32, but I forget that detail. But it was, you know, a 30-hour week essentially. That provision was delayed. But it, as before it got delayed, there were reports that some employers were not hiring above 50 full-time employees and cutting employee hours, so they wouldn't be bound, they wouldn't be covered by the provisions of the Affordable Care Act, so they wouldn't have to provide insurance for their employees because it would have increased their overhead. So there were reports of companies doing that, but that provision's been delayed for a year, so there's no reason for them to do that this year.
Shouldn't have to do it this year. I mean, the other objection to this and the fear is that if it got too costly for a company, they would just start laying people off or taking early retirement. We've seen some of that. Apparently, the Cleveland Clinic perhaps cited Obamacare as the reason for early retirement for a number of their workers. Are we seeing of this?
Generally, the objections are the same objections to regulation of any sort, that regulation raises costs by you have to increase safety standards or you have to pay minimum wages or you have to offer – put a seatbelt in a car, all these things add a cost, and the best decider would be the free market would decide how much safety people need. And if people wanted a safer product, they would demand it, and the free market would magically produce it. So the objection is that the government bureaucrats are coming in and setting standards that increase costs. I mean, that's just sort of the overall objection to regulation in general, and to this, and to the Affordable Care Act.
Of course, one of the essential ingredients in a free market is competition. Here in North Carolina, how many providers do people have to choose from, Sorian?
I'll
talk to Sorian and you, but yeah, start with Sorian.
Well, on the new health insurance marketplace that will open Tuesday, there are two primary providers that will be providing 22 different plans that have qualified and will be listed there. So there actually is choice. People will be able to look and compare a bronze plan, which will be their least expensive premium, to a silver and to a gold plan. And just today, the USHHS released information showing that actually the premiums are fairly quite affordable on there. And so people will have, you know, these options. People can also go off the health marketplace and purchase a, you know, like Blue Advantage, like the previous caller mentioned, if they want to continue to do that. They won't be able to get the financial help if they do not go onto the marketplace, however.
All right, let's take a call. Gabriel is on the line from Greensboro. Hello, Gabriel.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, I'm on a grandfathered Blue Cross Blue Shield plan, and I was wondering if I don't go to a subsidy plan on the marketplace. I've already determined I qualify for a subsidy. If I don't go to one of those plans, will I get a tax credit at the end of the year?
No, you will have to go to the marketplace to be able to get your tax credit, yes.
All right. Thank you for calling, Gabriel. There are two providers here in North Carolina, John. Who are they, and is there a fair symmetry between these two companies?
The two providers are Blue Cross and Blue Shield, which is the dominant provider in North Carolina. Almost, you could say, almost has a monopoly in our state on individual policies. It's also the biggest insurer in the state. The second one is Coventry. Will be operating in 39 counties, while Blue Cross will be in 100 counties. We don't know yet what Coventry's rates are going to be, but that may be somewhat immaterial because when your premiums are subsidized in such a way so that they're capped, so that they don't exceed a certain portion of your income. So regardless of what the premium is, what matters is how much you actually pay after you get your subsidy, which is pegged to a percentage of your income. But then also you have co-pays and deductibles, so you have other costs other than premiums.
Sorry, and who?
So, in other words, the answer is it's not. It may be very similar for a lot of people because they'll be subsidized so that they do not exceed a certain cost of their income to pay their premium.
Well, sorry, and let me ask you about those subsidies. Who qualifies for assistance under this act?
People that are earning above poverty level or up to four times of the poverty level will get financial help on a month-to-month basis. You're not waiting till the end of the year to get it. It'll be paid straight to your insurance company, and then you will pay the remainder of what is owed. And that'll be done on a sliding scale. So you'll get a lot more financial help if you're down at earning poverty level than you will if you're up four times the poverty level.
Let's go to Kill Devil Hill and Donna on the line. Hello, Donna.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You have a question for us?
Yes, we received a notification from Blue Cross Blue Shield that our plan is not grandfathered into the ACA, and as such, we will have to switch plans. And due to that, the cost will go up significantly. We do not qualify for subsidies. We are self-employed and self-insured, and this financial burden is going to be, from what I can tell in their examples, greater of $300 a month. And I need to know as much as possible what the risks are in tucking that money away that I would spend monthly, that I'm spending now monthly on in my budget that I have budgeted in savings, and take the penalty at the beginning and not buy health insurance.
Thank you, Donna.
I think I can. Can I try answering that one?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
So my understanding is what Blue Cross sent you is a premium for a comparable plan to the plan you have now, but it's not the plan you have to choose. You're obligated to choose. You will have a choice of other plans with Blue Cross Blue Shield. So in other words, your costs would only go up that $300 a month if you chose that plan that they suggested. But there are many other plans that they offer that you can choose from.
Thank you, John. 877-962-9862. And then, again, those people in the breach, those people for whom even a subsidy may not be enough. And do we have any idea, Sorian? I mean, are they coming to you? Do they have options? If they came to you, could you help them find something?
Well, for people that are – there's only a small percentage of people that are earning above four times the poverty level who are uninsured. So they have a lot more options in general, and they can go in the private market or they can go on the health insurance marketplace. For people below poverty level, they need to look at the health insurance marketplace to make sure that they're actually earning below poverty level and don't qualify for help, significant help, to get a plan there. And if they are below, they will be given notice of that, and they will be exempted from any penalties if they do not purchase insurance, because they would have been in that Medicaid expansion that did not occur.
Very little time for one last quick call. Ariel in Raleigh, please go ahead.
Hey there. So returning to the question about the demographic in North Carolina who will not be covered by the federal extension or within the state or not eligible, I'm just curious about speculations about the potential consequences of, you know, potentially hundreds of thousands or thousands of people not being covered. What kind of pressure will that have on taxpayers or just our ER rooms, anything like that?
All right, Ariel, thank you. John, maybe you want to take that one.
So those 500,000 people currently aren't covered, and they will continue not being covered, and they will either go to social welfare agencies, county health departments, community health centers, or they will go to try to get some kind of discounted help, discounted drugs, pro bono assistance from doctors or dentists, or they simply will go without care, and then when they have a piercing pain in their stomach, somebody will drive them to the emergency room. And they're relying on the emergency room as their primary source of health care for problems that probably would have been you'd be able to prevent by having, you know, regular preventive care with a regular doctor. So, you know, that's, I guess, one of the theories of the Affordable Care Act is it prevents people from taking preventable problems and letting those problems get out of control, and then you show up at the emergency room with, you know, a bill that's in the thousands of dollars that these people will not pay.
John Murawski,
they don't have the money to pay it.
John Murawski, thank you so much. Business reporter for the News and Observer. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you very much.
Sorian Schmidt is North Carolina Director for Enroll America. Thank you, Sorian.
Thank you.
Coming up next, Alan Gurganis talks about his new book. Stay tuned to The State of Things. Mm-hmm.